We are holding on Kuflamet Hayom and Bay's fourth line of the wide lines. We left off in the middle of, we started saying yesterday that Rabbi Bar Rav Huna had reported that Rabbi Yochanan had said a din about a Shchiv Merah who says write out a document that Pliny should get a money. Then he died. You don't write it after he died because Ein Shtar L'Hamitzah. And we started saying that Rav Shizvi said it wasn't Rav Yochanan said that, and then Rav Elazar confirmed that this is the right din, and you have to follow it. It was the other way around. He said that Rav Elazar was the one who said this din, and Rav Yochanan is the one who confirmed it. So we started saying, the last thing we said yesterday is Rav Nachman Yitzchok said, yeah, of course, it makes sense, because why would Rav Elazar, the Talmud, need to confirm something that his Rebbe, Rav Yochanan, said? It must have been the other way around. V'oid, and this is where we're holding, V'oid, and furthermore, I'll have another proof that it was actually Rav Elazar who said it, and not Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Bar Rav Huna said. Toshma, the Rabbi Elazar Amr, come, I'll prove to you that Rabbi Elazar is the one who said it. Deshalach Ravin Mishmei de Rabbi Bahu, because Ravin sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, saying, in the name of Rabbi Bahu, saying, Hevu Yodim, you should know, Deshalach Rabbi Elazar, Lagoyla Mishum Rabbeinu, that Rabbi Elazar, sent a message to the Gola, meaning to Bavel, or primarily to Bedis or whatever, in the name of Rabbeinu, which is the name of Rav. And he said, so we see this, Rav Elazar said it. And he said exactly that. Shchiv Merah Shalma Kisvu Numana L'Pliny. If a Shchiv Merah says, write out and give a mona to write out a document and give to Pliny a mona, or mess, and then he died, in Kosu Nunaisin, we said, we do not write the document and we do not give it. Because as we said yesterday, maybe like this, if he hadn't said to write it down, okay, it's a matnas shchiv merah, it's already if it's written and delivered. So say verbally. But once he says to write it, then maybe he only meant to be matnahim el b'shtar, only when the shtar actually reaches him. And vein shtar l'achamisa, and your shtar can't be in effect. The shtar certainly can't be written, or in this case delivered, l'achamisa. So that proves that it's actually Rabbi Elazar said this thing. Now continuing on it, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tibodeh. Now Rabbi Yochanan said it has to be checked out. Now the Rashbam says it's not Rabbi Yochanan is not coming to argue with Rabbi Elazar. We said before, we said that's a fakir. We said once Rabbi Elazar said this din, Rabbi Yochanan said he's the haruba. Be careful with it. Be aware that this is the halacha and make sure that you follow. But now Rabbi Yochanan himself is obviously not coming to disagree with Rabbi Elazar's din, but he's coming to add a detail. Namely,
be careful meaning
that... Well, in other words, this is the halacha. It is correct to say that if he says kisvu, it's new, you don't give it. But Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's not a blanket statement. It depends. It depends in what way did he say write it. So he says tibodik. He just says you have to check out the situation. You have to find out the details over here, and then it'll depend whether the din applies or not. My tibodik. So what does he mean by that? What needs to be checked out exactly? He also Rav Dimi Omar. So when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he reported two din. According to the Rashbam, the first din that he says is a side thing. The second one is going to be explaining what the bedikah is. According to the Rimi Gash, it's the other way around. The first one explains the Bedikah, and the second one is a side thing. So what are the two dinim? Number one, he says, Diatiki Mevatelos Diatiki. Number one, he says, one Diatiki can be Mevatel the other. We said it yesterday, Diatiki is a star Tzavot Shchiv Merah, a star that has written in it what the Shchiv Merah said wants to be accomplished.
What the name comes from?
We said yesterday, we said, Dol Tehei L'meikam B'li. We said, really, the word Diatiki is Greek.
Greek.
It's Greek for will or something, but yeah. But the Gemara darshened it as standing for the words "Da Tehei L'Meikam B'Liyus." This shall be to be established and to be. Or we said that L'Meikam can also mean we wrote an explanation that some of the Rishonim says that "Da Tehei L'Meikam." I myself hope to still rise up again, stand up again from this machla, and to continue living. But just in case, then yeah. Anyway, that's a diatiki. So diatiki mevatelos diatiki. If you write a second diatiki, it can cancel the first, because a Shchiv Merah writes out, has a diatiki written out, where he wants such and such to happen after he dies, but he can always change his mind. That's the difference, that's the major difference. One of the major differences between a matnas bari and a matnas Shchiv Merah. A matnas bari, he can't change his mind. A matnas Shchiv Merah, he can. So therefore, if he has one diatiki written out, and then a second one later on, then as long as the Rashbam adds, as long as we said in the Mishnah, if he's mezakeh it to somebody else, then it doesn't work. But as long as he wasn't mezakeh it, then you can be mevatel the first one with a second one.
Does it have to be dated?
Dated, we're going to talk about in the next Mishnah and the Gemara on it, whether it has to be dated. For right now, we're not getting into that. Anyway, the point is that the point, so that's the first din. So again, according to the Rashbam, this is just a side thing that's not directly negeir to our sugya. The second din, which he said is going to explain Rabbi Yochanan's Tzibadik. According to the Rimi Gash, it is meant to explain it, because we're talking about what is the situation where we say that if he said write it out, then it is significant, not like we said before, in Kosu Nunaisin. That would be the situation where he's doing it in order a second Diatiki was written, and now he wants them to write out another shtau to this person who received the second Diatiki to confirm that it is in fact valid. So that would be the case where
only case.
That's the only case where we'd be saying, well, yeah. Okay, and then the second in, Shriv Mirah Sham Kitzvot Numon of the Pliny Mess. If a Shriv Mirah says, write out a document and give a money to Pliny, and then he dies, then Rabbi Yochanan says, or Rabbi Dimi says, which is going to clarify what Rabbi Yochanan was saying, Royan, we have to see what's the situation. What exactly did this Shriv Mirah say? Im Kimiyafes Koichei Koisvin, if he did it, if he said to write the shtar in order to improve the koyach of the one who's receiving the gift. In other words, when you get down to it, there's two reasons why he might have a document written. One might be he only intends the matana to take effect once the shtar reaches that guy. That's what we said before, shemaloi gomel ha'knoise el b'shtar. Then you have a problem with that, ein shtar la'chamisa. The shtar can't be effective after he died, because the moment he dies, all of his machasim go to his yorshim. The other possibility is he's writing it so the person has a confirmation. So he has a document that later on he can bring to Beis Din or whatever and show, see, this guy actually said that I'm supposed to be getting this stuff. So if it was done for that purpose, if it was done in a way that shows that he's doing it to improve his situation, to improve his claim, then they're able to write it and deliver it even Achamisa.
In other words, the Shtar confirming his words?
Yes, so then we can write the Shtar even Lachamisa, because you have basically then it's a Matnas Shrivmara, which took effect, it was valid without being written, and even after the guy died, you're not now making a new thing, you're now confirming the old thing, so he has a document that he can bring as evidence to Beis Din. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan means by Tibodik. So you have to check out the situation. Why did he say Kisvot Nun? The Imlav and Kosvin. But if not, then you can't write it, because then there's the possibility that he only wanted it to be Kona with the Shtar. Most of Rav Abba Mamemel. Okay, Rav Abba Mamemel asks something, though. A Braisa says, Bori Sha'om a Kisvot Nun Monomoplone. How about not a Shtimra? If a Bori says, write out a document and give a money to Pliny, and later on he dies, in Kosman Renaissance, and then we say we don't write the document and we don't give it, implying Hashtidmara Kosman Renaissance, implying if the guy was a Shtidmara, then you would write it and you would give it. So what are you telling me? Tibodek, that it'll depend on the circumstances. From this Braita, it seems that that's a blanket statement. You always could. Which would be against what Rabbi Loza said before, and also against what Rabbi Yechon was saying before.
So yeah, if we don't take Rabbi Eliezer's explanation.
No. But if we go like Rabbi Loza straight out, Rabbi Loza himself had just said you don't write it, period. So then this Braita implicitly would be contradicting that. And even if you accept Rabbi Yechon, thing that sometimes yes, sometimes not, Boykin, but the Braita is not making that distinction. The Braita is implying that otherwise the Braita should have made that distinction itself, even within a Shchid Mana itself. It'll depend whether he's doing it the opposite Koich or not. So, who most of love of whom a Farak law? Okay, Rav Abba Mamemel pointed out the question. He also answered that yes, we are talking about Bimi Yafa as Koich. We are talking about that the Shtar was written in a way, he said to write it, the words that he used, as we're going to see in a second, what are the exact words he used, that show that it's Kimi Yafa as Koich. So, meaning, in other words, that he's doing it in order to strengthen the other guy's claim, not in order to make it that the Kinyan should happen through the Shtar itself. The difference would be, though, that With a Shchivra, we say, whatever he says is written and signed already. Therefore, you can, in this case, when it's Liyapas Kerchai, you can write it out, because the actual Tzava itself was valid while he was alive. On the other hand, with a Bori, you don't have that. A Bori, you don't say, No, it's not. No, with a Bori, it needs to be written, otherwise, it's just words.
You have to write it.
You have to write it in order for a body. And in this case, he died before it could be written. So that's the difference. In other words, the Braita is not trying to distinguish between the two cases that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about, Miyapas Kochai or not. The Braita is Tfaket. The Braita is telling us, even within Liyapas Kochai, there'll be a difference between a Shchiv Merah and a Bori. A Shchiv Merah will work, a Bori it still won't work. So what is considered Miyapas Kochai, what's considered a way in which the Shchiv Merah says to write the shtar, which was saying help is meant to strengthen the other guy's claim, not to make that the shtar itself should be the vehicle for the matana. So the answer is kidomer of chista, the kanina mina moisif al matnata da. Similar to what we have in the next parak, we're going to learn a din that Rav Chista says. The background is over there. We say that a Shchiv Merah, a matnas Shchiv Merah can be retracted. So implying if the guy dies without retracting, then the guy is koneh. Even though now what happens again? What happens if the matnas shchiv merah said in it that there was a kinyan done? Well, then you have the same problem. Maybe if you have a kinyan written in the shtar, maybe the implication is that he only meant for it to happen through the shtar. Again, ein shtar lachamisa. So we say of it. So Rav Chista says in that connection. That how does it work? When do we say that it is valid and we're not worried about in shtar lachamisa where the shtar says the words b'kaneinu minei moisif al matnasa da. When it says in there we made a kinyan on top of this matana. In other words, the matana itself would be valid even without the shtar at all. But we made a kinyan and we wrote out the shtar as a further in order to buttress it, in order to strengthen it.
What does it need to be strengthened?
This way, the guy has more of a proof and based in. This way, this way they can't argue that maybe the guy wasn't in his right mind when he did it. The shchiv merah, whatever. Hachanami. So the same thing in our case over here. Liyapas as kochay would be drama achsov of a chasem of a holy. Would be a case if the guy says also write and sign a document and give it to him. In other words, that they are also, just like in that case over there in the next parak, what Rav Chista is saying, he's clarifying that he gave him a matana, and additionally we did a kinyan in order to be mechazek this existing matana. So also over here, he's saying give it, and in addition, write a shtar in order to buttress his claim to it, so that he has a stronger ability to claim it in base.
So shtar is considered just a kinyan?
So that's the thing. The shtar could be a kinyan, but then you have a problem in shtar lachamisi. You can't write it after the guy dies. So if he just said it in the normal way, kisvul chismul with nulai, write out a document, sign it, and give it to him, no good. That's no good because maybe he'll... No. The same kind of thing as we have over there, that if the shtar says the word kinyan in it, it might create a problem unless he clarifies that the kinyan was not to make the matana happen, but rather to use as a confirmation of the matana. Yes. The same thing over here. That's what he said. Over there he writes, that we made a kinyan on top of this matana. In other words, the matana itself is a valid matana regardless. On top of that, we made a kinyan. Same thing over here. He says, if he said, write a document, sign it, and give him the mana, no good, because maybe he means you only give him the mana after the document is delivered. After the document is written and delivered, well, in shtar lachamisa. But if he says also write it and sign it and then give it to him, then the implication is give it to him regardless. Also write him a document and sign it because that'll help confirm him. He'll be able to use that as a proof and basis. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan means by tibodit, that it'll depend on the circumstances whether it is valid or not. Itmar, so now we had a discussion about this in Bavel as well, before the previous discussion was between Rabbi Loz's and Rabbi Yochanan's opinions. Now we have the Amoraim in Bavel as well. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kosmin Reneisnin. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that's the Halacha, that Kosmin Reneisnin. And he's not saying like Rabbi Loz just as a blanket statement. Again, Rabbi Loz himself, we said Rabbi Loz and Rabbi Yochanan are not really disagreeing. Rabbi Yochanan is clarifying what Rabbi Loz said. This that he said in Shemala Gamalakno, so it depends whether he made it in a way Liyapas is Tochei or not. Shmuel is saying the same thing, that if he's doing a Liyapas is Tochei, then it's fine, then you can write it and give it. If not, then no. And so Rava also said in the name of Rav Nachman that that's the halacha, and that's it. That is the halacha. So everybody agrees that that's how it is. If it was Liyapas is Tochei only, then you can write it and deliver it after the day. Mishnah says.
What is the best clues to prove? Yep, it's a curse.
That's what we just said. What's the lashon that he uses? Does he say write it and give it? Or does he say give him and also write it?
And also write
it. Yeah. No. Mishnah says, Hakosiv nechos of Levon. If somebody writes out a document giving away his nechosim to his children. Now here, what's the scenario over here? So the Rashbam says we're talking about, he's not necessarily a shivra. He could be a bari. What happens though is he was married before, he had children. Now he's getting remarried. Usually all of his property is going to be under a shivra, well, all of his real estate at any rate, is going to be under a shivra to his new wife, for Huxuba. He doesn't want that, because after all, what happens then could be a large tzuba, let's say. His children will end up losing out. So he writes a shtar matana for them that they should get his nechassim. However, he still doesn't want. He doesn't want to leave himself. He doesn't want to leave himself penniless either. Therefore, what he does is he wants to give them the peiros now and the guf la'achamisa. The Rebbeinu Gershom explains it differently. He says that we're talking about, we learned in previous Mishnayos in our Perek, that you can have, we've said according to Rabbi Yechon ben Broka, you're allowed to favor one child over another, you're allowed to disinherit one child in favor of another or whatever, so then it would be the same kind of thing if you're writing a Shtar Matana to do that. But he's a Bori, at any rate. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in that case, in order to make it that the payers are sold now, and are not sold, given now, and the goof is given la'achamisa, he has to write the words mehayom la'achamisa, that as of today and after the death, meaning that then it'll be a two-stage thing. Mehayom, one part of it will take effect, the payers, and la'achamisa, the second part will take effect. Yeah.
Because
as of today, they're getting the payers. And as of when he dies, they're getting the group. So that works. But it started already now.
If you say it starts now, continues later, then...
In other words, if you didn't write Mehayoyim, that's the thing. If you didn't write Mehayoyim, then you would say Ein Matona La'achamisa, because when he dies, that's it. And then it goes to his Yorshim. But like this, where he started by giving away the matana while he was alive, mehayoyim, then the continuation of it can take place la'achamisa. Rabbi Yossi says you don't even need that. You don't need to write the word mehayoyim for reasons which we will discuss in the Gemara. Another din in this connection, akosim nechosim l'vnoi la'achamisa. So now what happens is a person writes out that a nechosim should go to his son, la'achamoyso, in this way that we just said, where he writes ma'ayom la'achamisa, or according to Rabbi Yossi, where he doesn't need to write ma'ayom or whatever, but la'achamisa. So now you have, when you get down to it, the father and the son own different parts of the nechosin. One owns the peiros, one owns the goof. Incidentally, by the way, the Rashbam points out further down on the Omot, he apparently had, or the printers who printed him, had our Mishnah divided into two parts. He says, I mean, the same din would apply if he wrote it out to somebody else. He doesn't expand on it, but other mepharshim say, okay, usually who would a person do this to would be to his children. But yeah, the same din applies with somebody else. Anyway, so right now you have then, one of them owns the peiros, the other one owns the goof. So ha'av en yocholin, so the father is not able to sell the property to anybody else, because it's written out to the son. The son already has. He has the son has the goof now and the payrus later. I said it backwards before, by the way. I said it backwards before. When he says Mehayom la'achamisa, the goof is given to the son immediately. The father keeps the payrus. Yeah, I said it backwards.
That's my question.
Okay. All right.
If you give the parents...
Right, if you give the parents... Right,
it.
Right.
Didn't start.
Yeah, okay. Okay, but no, so I said it backwards. The son gets the goof right away. Anyway, so now the father can't sell it. So now the father can't sell it because the goof belongs to the son.
Right.
On the other hand, the son can't sell it because it's still in the reshus of the father. He's supposed to be getting the payers.
Can you sell something to someone else as the goof when another person has the peiros?
So the Rashbam says what they can do is that the father and the son can jointly sell the property. They can sell it jointly to somebody else, not one without the other. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's the halacha?
Yeah. Mochorav, now what happens if the father does go and sell it? Well, Mochorim Achiyom was fine. It's sold insofar as the Peiros until the father dies. Once the father dies, the son is going to take over the Peiros.
This is considered Mochor?
It is considered Mochor, but only insofar as the Peiros, and it's only a temporary thing. Mochor HaBen, if the son sells it to somebody else, Ein L'Lekeach Behen Klum Achiyom HaSa'av. The L'Lekeach is not going to be able to have anything from it. He's not going to be able to have Peiros until the father dies, because the son himself only has the goof now. That's all he can sell, is the goof. But once the father dies, then the lekeach will have the goof and the peiros. We'll see in the Gemara. We'll have machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. What happens if the son dies while the father was alive? What happens to the lekeach then?
Lekeach has nothing.
We'll see. Okay. So the first question the Gemara says is, what are you telling me that if he writes Nayom al Achamisa that helps, and therefore it's a two-stage matana? Hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Gittin that
even the goof first and the peiros.
That's what we're saying. The goof now, the peiros later. But how does such a thing work? We learn in a Mishnah in connection with Gittin. Mehayom l'achamisa, that if a person writes that if a person gives a get to his wife and says that it is mehayom l'achamisa, get the ain't a get, then we say it is a get and it isn't a get because we can't be sure what he means by that. Does he mean mehayom ul'achamisa, meaning if I die, then it should be retroactive to now, or does it mean he said mehayom and then changes his mind and says ul'achamisa, and it can't work ul'achamisa and get ul'achamisa. So therefore, it's a self get.
And get doesn't have a goof of his wife.
Hold on. You'll see in a second. The immes chelatzis v'lemes yabemes. And, no, but that's not a question whether we own the goof or not. So the point still remains that a get takes effect at some point. If he says, Mayom al-Achamisa, it's questionable what he meant. Why don't we say the same thing? It's questionable whether he meant to be Machne right away or whether he meant to be Machne al-Achamisa and Matan al-Achamisa. And therefore, the Meschelatis Volemis Yabemis. And therefore, if the husband were to die after giving such a get, then his wife would have to have Chalitza and not Yibum. She'd have to have Chalitza in case it wasn't. A valid get, and therefore she's a Yavama, but she can't do Yibum, because if it was a valid get, then she's also to her husband's brother. So over there it's a Suffolk. Why don't we say the same thing over here?
She can do Chalitza in a Suffolk.
You always have, throughout Yavamas, we always have, whenever you have a case of a Suffolk, whether a woman needs Yibum or not, you always have to do Chalitza and not Yibum. You can never do Yibum in a case of a Suffolk, because if it turns out that it's no good, then you're Pagea Be'er. She's also to him as an heir, to the brother. But Chalatzis, that you can always do, yeah. Okay. So why don't we say the same thing over here, that's a Suffolk. The answer is, Hosam Mesatkon Itznoi Habi Chazor Habi. Because over there, it has to be one or the other. A get is an atomic thing. It's an indivisible thing. You're divorced, then you're not divorced. There's no two stages in a get. There's no two different things that happen when a get is given. So therefore you have the question. Did he mean, so he can't mean that you're in the lachamisa, it should start now and continue lachamisa. The only possibility is either he meant it should be retroactive to now, or he meant it should only take effect lachamisa. It is safe for Christmas, right? But the point is, in other words, there's no two state. The Yerushalmi brings up the point. Actually, I mean, on the face of it, maybe you could argue there is, because after all, you have Maisi Odell. You could argue that he could argue that maybe Ma'ayim Lachamisa, that maybe as of now I'm renouncing your Maisi Odell and Lachamisa, the get will take effect or whatever. But still, you know, anyway. But basically, it's an indivisible thing. It happens at a certain time. So therefore, we have to say either mehayom al-achamisa means that I want it to take effect as of now, retroactively, or that I said mehayom and then changed my mind and said al-achamisa and ain't get al-achamisa, and therefore we have a suffix. Aval hocha, but over here, you don't have to say that it's contradictory. A kinyan can take place in two stages. Achikamalei, evidently what he means is to say he's not changing his mind, he's not saying anything. Gufa koni mehayoyim, peir la'achamisa, the gufa of the karaka I want you to be koni right away, the peir is la'achamisa, and it's the same word.
They both can be true.
They both can be true, in other words, right. So therefore we don't even have to get into the choice loshen rishon or choice loshen achron that we've talked about before, because that's only when the two of them contradict each other. Like we said in the cave, like we said in various other cases before, when the two of them can be true, then you understand them. I mean, saying to be saying that both
say,
are true.
Go for Ma'ayim and then Ola Achamisa, maybe
you yeah, then you'd have a problem with it itself. But like this, we say Ma'ayim Ola Achamisa, we can understand one song of the Guf and the other of the Pesach. Yeah. Then we said Rabbi Yossi Ma'ayim Tzot. We said that Rabbi Yossi says you don't even have to write the word Ma'ayim. It automatically, you write such a Shtayim Latona, it takes effect like that. So the Guf now, the Pesach later. So we have to figure out why is Rabbi Yossi saying that. So the Gemara tells us a story. Rabba Baravua Cholosh. One time Rabba Baravua wasn't feeling well. Olegabe Rav Huna v'Rav Nachman. So Rav Huna and Rav Nachman came to visit him, to be Mavaka Chola. Omele Rav Huna v'Rav Nachman, Boi mine halacha k'Rav Yosi, ein halacha k'Rav Yosi. So Rav Huna says to Rav Nachman, ask Rabba Baravua whether the halacha is like Rav Yosi or whether it's not. Now why is he asking Rav Nachman? Why doesn't he ask himself? And Mephoshim say, because Rabbi Baravua is not feeling well, we're saying. So Rav Huna didn't want to bother him. He didn't feel that it's his place to bother him personally. Rav Nachman, though, is Rabbi Baravua's son-in-law. So fine, your shver has to put up with you no matter what. So you can ask him, but I don't feel comfortable when he's not feeling well.
And he did that.
So Omalei, so Rav Nachman says, why am I asking the reason? Kaima did Rav Yossi lo yadayna. I don't even understand what Rabbi Yossi's reason is in the Mishnah. Yeah. Halacha, you boy. I mean, hey, how can I ask him whether the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi when I don't even have any reason to think the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi because I defile don't understand his shit. Amalei, so Rav Huna tells him, don't worry. Ask boy, I mean,
yeah, the
Reish Galuta.
Yeah, the Reish Galuta.
That was, first of all, was that the same Rav Nachman as here? Rashi and Tosfos discuss it in Gittin, but even if it was, I think the point is that Rav Baravua himself was, I don't think necessarily he was the son-in-law of the Reish Galuta. He was the son-in-law of somebody from the Reish Galuta's family, which was Rav Baravua.
Oh, yeah. What about Yalta's father?
That would have been Yalta's father then.
Oh, so not the, because in Kedushin they say that Rav Huna says them give respect to them.
Yeah, yeah, because he's married into the family of the Reish Galuta, so not necessarily that it's Shver is the actual Reish Galuta.
He married into Gesha,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway. Omalei, so Rav Huna tells him, don't worry, ask Boyiminei Halacha Yiloh. You ask him whether the Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi or not. But Taimei, I know I'm in Halacha. As far as what Rabbi Yossi's reason is, I'll explain to you afterwards. Nasa v'nishma. You first find out what the Halacha is, and I'll explain to you the what changes of opinion. Rav Huna is telling Rav Nachman that I want you to find out from Rabbi Baravua who the Halacha is like. As far as you say you don't understand Rabbi Yossi's reason, I'll explain to you what Rabbi Yossi's reason is. But meanwhile, you first find out what the Halacha is. So sure enough, Rav Nachman asks Rav Baravua, Amalei, and Rav Baravua tells him, yes, Hachi Amar Rav, Halacha K'Rav Yossi. Yes, as a matter of fact, Rav said the Halacha is like Rav Yossi.
No question there.
Yeah. Now the question is, so why did Rav Yossi say his din? Bosa Dinofku, after they left, Amalei, so Rav Huna explains to Rav Nachman, Hainu Taimi D'Rav Yossi, the reason behind Rav Yossi's shitta is, Ga'amar, because he says, Mane Shav Shtam Mechiyach Olam. He says the date of the shtar itself demonstrates that it's meant to begin there. Otherwise, why are you writing a date in the shtar at all?
Unless you indicate otherwise.
Obviously, if you indicate otherwise, but in general, the very fact that you write a date shows that you meant it to start taking effect as of now. Otherwise, there was no reason to write it at all. Tani nami hachis, we learn, especially, I mean, we're talking about a matnas bori, but you remember, a matnas bori, you can't change your mind afterwards. Unlike a matnas chidmera, where you can have one diatiki and then another, and the second one cancels the first, here with a matnas bori, you can't cancel it anyhow, so there's no reason to write a date in it, unless it's because you want to show that it, when it starts. Tani nami hachis, and indeed we learn like that in a braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, and it's tzorach mpeshes manesh or shtar mechiyachol. Now, the Rashbam gets into an interesting discussion like this. We're saying over here that Rav is saying the halacha is like Rav Yossi. But Rav himself says that in Gittin, talking about the nusach of a get, And we know a date has to be written in a get. That's an early Takana Chacham, and we learned in Gittin. We talked about it yesterday. Shemi Yechapa, Albas Achoiser, because of Peres, or whatever. There's two reasons that the Gemara discusses in Gittin why the Chacham made a Takana. You have to write a date in a get. But then, Rav, the Gemara says in Gittin, made a Takana that you have to write in a get, min yom of dinam, that the get takes effect as of now. And the reason you need that is because not as Rabbi Yossi, we don't say Zmanish or Shtam Achia Cholov. You say that you need the word Mehayoyim, or the equivalent of Aramaic, Minyoyim Adinan, to show that it takes effect as of now. Now, what is it then? So here Rav is saying the Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, and there he seems to be saying like Rabbi Yehuda. So there are some of the Rishonim say that maybe indeed Rav changed his mind, or the Rif talks about maybe there's a difference between Dinim Momonos and Esther Veheter. But Ashban says, never mind all of that. The reason why Rav did that is because with a get, there's no kinyan taking place in there anyway. So it doesn't hurt to write minyoyim adinan olam. Minyoyim adinan. It doesn't hurt to write mehayoyim. It's not like you're worried about when a kinyan is taking place anyway. And this way it helps. Because of the chumrah of arayas, you know, because arayas is such a serious thing, you want to make as much as possible that the get should fit according to all shittas. And the Rishonim also say, what if, for example, a later amora is going to disagree with Rav and pass him like Rabbi Yehuda? So this way, if you write minyoyim adinan, then you're covered either way. It's not a contradiction. Basically, Rav holds up Rabbi Yossi, but when it comes to a get, he wants to be machmir to take Rabbi Yehuda's opinion into consideration also. But Ashram also adds, he brings from the Gaonim, who said that they said that in the Masivtis of Babel, they had the minhag to write Mehayoyim or Minyoyim and Dinan in all shtaris. And the Ashram says, Adarab, the very fact that they're saying it's a minhag shows they knew perfectly well the halachas are kabyes. But the Mishum minhag, they came up with the idea of writing Mehayoyim in all shtaris. That's how it is. The halacha is in fact like Rabbi Yossi. Nonetheless, though, in general, in shtaros, they usually write the word mehayoyim.
So, minhag
ha-makom? It became eventually a fairly universal minhag. The Rashba, by the way, points out another detail. Nowadays, shtaros in general have a date on him. So therefore, still though, the very fact that he told them to go ahead and write the shtar the normal way and didn't tell them, you know what, we don't need a date, shows that Zmanish or Shtar Machia Cholov, as Rabbi Yossi is saying, that he meant for it to take effect as of now. Otherwise he would have specifically told them, don't write a date in it, even though everybody else does. All right. Bomine Rava Min Rav Nachman. Okay, so now Rava asks Rav Nachman the following din. What about Vaknoma? What about if it's a shtar that says that there was a kinyan in it? Now, you could argue again that there's a difference between a shtar where the shtar itself constitutes the kinyan, because karka can be acquired, the kesef the shtar of chazaka, versus when you're saying in the shtar, the kanena that we made a kinyan, that we made a kinyan sudr on it. The Rashbam explains the question is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though we just established that halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, still Rava can be asking what would Rabbi Yehuda say. Many of the other Rishonim say that the question actually is according to Rabbi Yossi also. Rav Nachman says, "Back no, ain't it sort of? When it comes to a shtar that says a kinyan, you taka don't need it. You taka don't need to write the mehayoyim in it." Rav Papi says, "Not necessarily. Ika aknaisa de tzorich, veika aknaisa de loy tzorich. Some you have a shtar that says kinyan in it that you do have to write mehayoyim, according to Rav Yehuda at any rate, and you have ones where you don't need to. Namely." It depends what order you wrote it in. If you wrote akniye the koninamine, if you write, now, the Rashbam explains like this. In general, in a shtar, you have the body of the shtar, and then you have the last line of the shtar is a summary of what it said earlier, in the shtar. We're going to learn in the last parak of Ar Masechta, we're going to learn the concept in the maiden mishita achrona, that even though you repeat on the last line what the summary of what came before in the shtar, you can't learn from it to deduce from it what you can't learn anything from the lashon that it uses over there. You have to go according to the body of the shtar. The value of it is to prevent things from being forged over there. The value of it is in case the top part of the shtar gets rubbed out, you can reconstruct it from the bottom. We'll learn the details over there.
If there's a contradiction
between the numbers and the words, then you go according to the words. Yeah, okay. Anyway, So like this, the Rashbam says, so you write in the body of the shtar, you wrote that he told us be edim and make kinyan, and then further along in the shtar, and on the last line, it says the kanena that we made a kinyan from plain. So it depends what order it says it in. Which one did they write first and which one second? If we have the Lashon that he was makne to him and we made a kinyan from him, then you don't need to write the word mehayoyim, because then you have the akne is the primary thing. He was makne this to him, meaning that we didn't need the kinyan sudr in order to make the kinyan. The kinyan is happening through the actual delivery of the shtar. No, actually, sorry. The Rashbam says rather what it is if it says like that, if it says Akhniyeh and then Vekonina, it means there are two different kinyonim. He was Makneh to the other guy, and we made a kinyon with him, a kinyon Sudr, to confirm it.
He was Makneh
with Keteth or Shtar or Chazaka or what have you, whatever it is. And we made a kinyon with him. We made the kinyon sudr with him. That makes that it'll work mehayoyim. So therefore, you don't need to write the word mehayoyim in the shtar because that's implied in that case.
The kinyon sudr.
On the other hand, but if it was the other way around, kaninim mineh ba'akniyeh. But if it's the other way around, if the body of the shtar says kaninim mineh, that we made a kinyon from him, a kinyon sudr. And then at the end, the last line says akniyeh, that he was makneh to him. That implies it was only one kinyan, the kinyan mine, and through our kinyan, akne, he was makne to him. So therefore,
first
the kinyan sudr, so therefore you need to write mehayim in order to clarify that he actually meant it to take effect as of now. But that's the Rashbam's explanation. There's a couple of various other explanations among the Rishonim about the differences between them. Anyway. So that's the difference. It depends what order you write. Mas before Rochaninim Yisura, but Rochaninim Yisura asks on that, Mik midi danan lo yadin and v'safri yadi. What kind of thing is this? We Chachamim ourselves, most of the Chachamim ourselves, are not familiar with the difference between whether you wrote in the body of the shtar, the Chaninim Minei, at the bottom, Akmiyei, or the other way around. The Safri Yadi. And you're telling me that the Sofrim, you're telling me that the scribes who write out the shtarit are going to be familiar with that detail of which one means what, and therefore that whether they have to write Mehayoyim or not, whether
we Chachamim
ourselves, Chanina Misura is saying, we ourselves don't know and maybe don't hold a distinction. What makes you think the Sofrim will know to the extent that then we can rely on the wording of the shtar even without the word Mehayoyim and say that it works? As a matter of fact, yes, the Sofrim do know. Shalunu l'safri d'abaya, so after that, they ask the Sofrim in Abaya's basin, v'yadi, and sure enough, they knew of this distinction. All the safri d'rova v'yadi, and they ask the Sofrim of Rova's basin, and they also knew the difference. So therefore, yes, it is a valid distinction. The Sofrim whose job it is to write shtaris know of this distinction, and therefore it is indeed a valid distinction. Okay, but the point is that at least you're kind of regular.
That's what we connected to the thing before. We said that Dover Cousin is
yeah, okay.
Right.
On the other hand, Rav Huna Breda Rishua says a different explanation. No, Ben Akniye v'Koninimine Ben Koninimine v'Akniye Lo Tzorich. No, actually, it's not a distinction. Rav Chanina Misura has a point. It's talking about a valid distinction, which one came first and which one came second. The Sofrim may say that there's such a distinction. We don't have to pay any attention to that. Over Duchron Pisgomi to have a ban pona, please. Rather, we can say though that when we had the argument before whether you need, when Rav Nachman is saying that you don't need and Rav Papi says you do, that sometimes you do at least, that the distinction would be if you have a shtar that's not a shtar that doesn't mention anything about a kinyan. It's a shtar that says that on such and such a day these edim saw this transaction taking place, that Pliny wanted to give this matona to Pliny or whatever. Duchran Pisgami, Dahababan Kona, means this is a memorandum of the matters that took place in our presence. So in other words, the Edom are writing it down as a memo, as a proof of what actually was transacted over here. But there was no Kenyan involved. There's nothing of a Kenyan mentioned in there. Then you can have the argument whether you can say So Rav Nachman had said akna ain't tzarich. That shtar that mentions akna, you don't need it. Because once it mentions akna, automatically it means it's going to happen mehayoyim. But if it's a shtar that doesn't mention anything about akna, yeah, then you're going to have the argument whether you need mehayoyim or not.
How would it be acquired if it doesn't mention akna?
What do you mean? The shtar itself is the shtar itself forms a kenyan.
But in the shtar you write.
In the shtar itself you're writing that on such and such a date, Pliny gave his field to Pliny, and he was kind of through, and he was kind of whether through the shtar or whether it was chazaka or whatever. It doesn't say anything about that we made a Kenyan.
It doesn't
say anything about a Kenyan at all. Doesn't say anything about a Kenyan at all. It just says we are Edim that Reuben said I'm giving my field to Shimon, and that way Shimon has it as a proof to be able to take its basis.
And if it said something about the Kenyan?
If it said something about the Kenyan, then we're saying that Rav Nachman said that if it's Hakna ain't a Tzarech, that you don't need it. Because Manish or Shtar Mechia Kolov, and that's that. Okay. Omer Rav Kahana, however, Rav Kahana says, I'm Ritzel Shmaita Kamedir of Zvid Min Harja. I told over this whole discussion to Rav Zvid Min Harja. And he told me, Atun Hochi Masnimula, you, I guess in Surah, learned this discussion this way. Anan, we, I guess in Nahada, learned it as follows. That the discussion went like this. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Nachman, Bakna in its Tariq, that Rava said in the name of Rav Nachman explicitly that by a shtar that mentions Akna, you don't need to say Mehayoim in it. Bain Akniyev, Konunimine, Bain Konunimine, Akniyev, Lloyd Tariq. And it doesn't matter whether it's an Akhniye and then Konunimine or the other way around. Either way, you don't need to say Mehayoyim. In other words, the whole discussion that we just had, where we had to ask the question, we had to point out the contradiction, and then point out that and then Rabbuna Brevi of Yeshua comes in and says that never mind that distinction, it's just a distinction between a shtar that mentions Kenyan and a shtar that doesn't. Rav Zvid is saying we didn't even have that whole question and answer. We knew that Rava said that straight out in the name of Ramachan that way, not that Rabbuna Brevi of Yeshua had to come up with that distinction on his own. That the only argument is if it's a shtar that's just a memorandum of what the Edom saw, then you have the argument whether you need Mehayoyim in it or not. Again, the bottom line halacha is that you don't need Mehayoyim anyway because manos shtar mechia chalav.
Manos
shtar mechia chalav. We said Rav Yossi says the date of the shtar itself demonstrates that it's meant to take effect as of the date of the shtar. Otherwise, the date wouldn't have been written.
So if you don't have a date,
then you have a problem, and you need to write something to show to show what it takes effect. Yeah. Otherwise you would say if there's no date, you would assume that it can only take effect la hamisa, and that's on a la hamisa. So yeah. Then the Mishnah said, "Akosim nechosim b'mnoi lacham moisim." He said that if a person writes a shtar that he's giving his nechosim to his son after he dies, or what we said mehayom lacham mis, actually, then what we said is the father can't sell it unilaterally, the son can't sell it unilaterally, and we said a case over there that we said in the Mishnah the last case was if the son sells the guf while his father is alive, the lekeach doesn't actually have anything of it because he can't have the payrus while as long as the father is alive. But after the father dies, then the lekeach will get it.
It's temporary.
Yes. So itmar. So now we have a discussion. No, if the father sells it, it's a temporary thing. The lekeach has to pay this temporarily until the father dies and the son yarshins it all. If we're saying if the son sold the guf, the lekeach can't do anything with it. He can't do anything with the guf
until
the father dies because.
Once
the father dies, yeah, then he'll have the pay. But right now he doesn't have anything until the father dies. As opposed to if the father sells it, the other guy at least has the pay.
Take a toothpick from the bar.
What?
Take a toothpick from the tree. Okay, maybe
I don't know.
It's not. So we have a discussion that goes like this: Mocher ben b'chayakav. What happened? The son sold the property while the father was alive. So he said, in other words, he sold the goof. And now, if the father had died first, then there would be no problem. The son sold the goof. He can't sell the payers because they belong to his father. If now the father died afterwards, no problem. The lekeach will now have the goof, and he'll have the payers as well. The problem is, what happens if the son dies first? So metha ben b'chayav. If the son died before the father. So who does it go to? Right. Amar Rav Yochanan lekana lekeach. So Rav Yochanan says, in that case, the lekeach is not going to be koneh because it was never going to come into the son's hands. Because it was only going to become his after the father died, and the son died, and the son died while the father was alive, and he was misalik himself from the property by selling it. Therefore, the lekeach is not going to keep it at all. Who is it going to go to? The Rashbam understands then that what's going to happen according to Rabbi Yochanan is it goes back to the father, and then it'll go to the father's other Yoshim, his other sons, if he has sons, his daughters, his descendants, whatever, or his brothers or his uncles or whatever the usual rules as we talked about earlier in the past. Tosfos brings from the Rivam, who says that no, what it means is it'll go to the Yoshim of the son.
Right.
That's all according to Rav Yechanan. Resh Lakish am a kana lekeach. Resh Lakish says, never mind all of that. The lekeach will be koneh. Yes, it was. In other words, what we say effectively is that the son sold the goof and then he died. What we said is the lekeach is once. What we said is that once the father dies, then we say that kinyan, which was kind of temporarily suspended, now it goes to the lekeach after all. Because all the father had up to that point is the payers, and basically it's going to be the argument that the Gemara is going to talk about in a second, kinyan payers for kinyan agurkuna. The halacha is like Resh Lakish, by the way. This is one of the three cases that we mentioned the other day, one of the cases where the halacha is like Resh Lakish, a case where a person mentions Yerusha and Matana, and Resh Lakish said a certain line that he has to use in order for it to work, that is making it clear that the Yerusha is subordinated to the Matana. That was one of them. This one about Kinin Teres, Kinin Agrof is another one. The third one, the Gemara tells us we learned way back in Yevamos, the third one was a case involving Chalitza, or it was a case involving Chalitza with a pregnant woman. Anyway. So, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lekana Lekeach. Rabbi Yochanan says that the Lekeach is not Koine because Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf Gani, because he holds that the fact that the father still has ownership of the Peres, it's as if he owned the actual Guf. Therefore, the son was only able to sell it al Manas, and eventually he was going to get it. Well, he never got it. Therefore, the Lekeach never gets it.
It goes back to the father.
It goes back to the father, therefore, right. According to the Rashbam, it goes back to the father's Yerushim. According to the Rivam and Tosfos, it goes to the son's Yerushim. But whatever. The point is, the Lekeach doesn't matter. Resh Lakish am a kana Lekeach, whereas Resh Lakish says the Lekeach will be koneh, kinyan peres lav ke kinyan aguf dami, because the fact that the father owns the peres is not the equivalent of a kinyan aguf. So therefore, yes, the father has the payers, and fine, the lekeach is not going to be able to have the payers as long as the father is alive, but as soon as the father dies, that's it. The goof, which was up till now suspended, sort of, in a suspended state, now goes to the lekeach, and so do the payers.
The goof was suspended.
Yes, because all this time, the father was entitled to the payers. Now, the
payers and the goof still are going to the lekeach.
The fact that the lekeach has the goof, what's he supposed to do with it? I mean, okay, like you said, maybe he can take a toothpick from it or something, but practically speaking, there's not really much he can do with the goof. Because the point is, if you don't fully own it, then yeah, can you? That's the point, though, but he doesn't fully own it. So up until...
Does he have the title of
the... He has the title, but what good does it do him? That's a piece of paper.
No, but that's not the question. The question is, who has the title to the...
According to Resh Lakish, which is the halacha, kinyan peres lav to kinyan aguf domi, then fine. The father doesn't have the goof because he already gave it away to his son. Now his son sold that goof to somebody else. Fine, that somebody else has the goof. Okay. The question is, v'hoi fligu b'chadar zimna.
So they can go up to the lekeach?
thing, you mean if the Lakeach at some later date borrows money, can that be under Shibud to somebody else?
It
could be.
The father borrowed money.
Oh, well, if the father only has Kinyan HaPeiros, then it isn't that.
Sorry, if the son.
If the son? Okay. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Okay, so the question is, okay, but why do we need this machlokas of Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish in this connection? We have that same machlokas in another connection. The Itmar, namely, we have the discussion, which we learned earlier in, we learned about similar concepts earlier in the Masechta. They said this actual machlokas is, this actual machlokas we learned in Gittin, but and in Rav Matzia, but this is the one that we're going to have now about Bikurim. But we've talked about similar concepts earlier in our Masechta about who brings Bikurim and who doesn't. The Itmar, Hamoichos today with the Peiros. If somebody sells his field only for the Peiros, so he himself keeps the goof, but he sold the Peiros to somebody else. Rabbi Yechon Rama may be a Karir. Rabbi Yechon says that the person who bought the Peiros brings Bikurim and says the Psukim, because he's able to say, Ha'adama Hashem Asapu V'Yashem. He's able to say that this is the land that Hashem gave me, because he has Kenyan Peiros, and that's considered like Kenyan Aguf. British Lakish Sava, Oma, maybe the Enik Karir. And Rish Lakish says he does bring Bikurim, but he doesn't say the Psukim, because Kenyan Peiros is like Kenyan Aguf, Rami, because he says Kenyan Peiros is not like Kenyan Aguf. So you have the same machlokas again. Why do you need it in two places? By the way, the Rashbam and Tosfos and various other Rishonim talk about what's the basis. Why would we say that he has to, what's the logic that he'd have to bring Bikurim but not say the Psukim? So the Rashbam says, because you have the on the one hand, it is the land that you gave me. It is Hadama Asher Nasata L'Yashem. It is Asher Tovi Me'artzecha. It is your land. On the other hand, you can't say Hadama Asher Nasata L'Yashem because you don't actually have the land, because you only have Kenyan Peiros. Tosfos argues on that, and Tosfos says, then you have a contradiction. It either is your land or it isn't. So Tosfos says that he has to bring the Bikurim Midrabbanan. He can't do the Kriya, because the Kriya you can only do if you Chayav Midaraisa, but Tosfos says you'd have to bring it. Tosfos says it would be Midrabbanan. The Ketzos actually has a bit of discussion about how what is the Rashbam thinking. He says when we say according to Rabbi Yechonon, Kenyan Peiros to Kenyan, according to Rish Lakish rather, Kenyan Peiros lav to Kenyan Aguf, it still means though that he does have to a certain extent have a certain ownership on the thing. He brings an example we're going to talk about tomorrow when you lend your Esther, if they're not lending you, when you give somebody your Esther, Matana Amanaf Mahaster, we'll talk about tomorrow. That's the Shem. It's not totally his. He can't eat it after all because he has to return it. Nevertheless, he's still considered to have enough ownership of it for it to be considered Lakakam Lachem. By the same logic over here, the Rashbam can hold that even though all he has is the Peiros, it's still considered to that extent Me'artzecha. You still have to that extent a bailus over the land, and therefore you have to bring the Bikurim from it. As far as the Psukim, though, as far as reading the Psukim, fine, that's Xeris HaKotav, that it has to actually be land that you own.
So what does it do if you don't read the Psukim?
No, I mean, they still Bikurim, and it's still Bikurim. They still have all the Jinnim. They still have, yes, like you didn't, yeah, exactly.
What?
It's as if you do a mitzvah without saying the bracha. The mitzvah is still a mitzvah. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so again, the question is, why is the machlokas repeated? The answer is, Amalach Rabbi Yechonon, because Rabbi Yechonon can tell you like this. Afal gabde ba'alma kinyan peiros kinyan aguf dami. You could argue like this. Generally, you would say that kinyan peiros kinyan aguf. Why do I need to tell you in this case also that kinyan peiros kinyan aguf, our case of our Mishnah and our Gemara about the father and the son? Because Hocha Yitzrich, here you need to specially point that out. Sakadai Hamina, because otherwise you would think to say, Abo Gabi Brea Huli Acho. You would think it's a father and a son. Maybe the father is willing to be Moichol on it completely. Maybe even though he has the Peiros, he's willing to say that my Kenyan Peiros should not affect your Kenyan Aguf. Because after all, he's a father, and therefore he's more willing to be Moichol in favor of his son. We could argue that maybe he is. Therefore, we need to be told that no, whatever he thinks, he wants an emerichal or whatever, still he has Kenyan Peiros, and that is considered Kenyan Aguf, and therefore it blocks the Lakeach from having the Guf. Kamash Malon, that is the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Amar, we don't say Acholi Acho, we say that Kenyan Peiros is always Kenyan Aguf, even in this case, and therefore that blocks the Lakeach from having the Guf. But Rav Shimon ben Lakish Amar, and Rav Shimon ben Lakish can say the reason why I needed to point it out in this case, again, in connection with our Mishnah, even though it's true that in general, Kenyan Peiros is not the Kenyan Aguf, which is why by Bikurim he's maybe Vein Yikar, right? Hocha Itzrich, but here you need to point it out specially because Sakadat Hamina, because you would think to say, Faket, Kol Lagabe Nafshe, when it's something that involves him himself, when it's something that involves his own ownership, Afilu B'Mokim Brei, even when it's him and his son, Nafshe Adifale, still his own ownership may be more important to him. He may think, yes, I gave him the goof. Nevertheless, and I reserved the payments for myself until Lacham Misa. Nevertheless, though, I want that my ownership of the payments should be stronger than usual, should be secured, yeah. And therefore, I don't want that it shouldn't be considered that I have no power to the group at all. I want it to be considered as if I have power to the group, and therefore prevent the chaos from getting it. Mashmalon, and that would be the point. And that would be the point why our Mishnah would have to be telling us that even in this case, don't think like that. That even in this case, you still say Kinyan Peiros, Latke Kinyan Agul, just as we do Rabbi Kodim, and just as we do in other contexts. And then that's it. Therefore, according to Rish Lakish, the father has nothing in the goof at all. Therefore, the Lakeach is able to be kind of the goof. And therefore, once the father dies, then he gets the goof and the Peiros. The Rashbam adds, by the way, I mean, you know, practically speaking, I mean, the Gemara could have also said that the Gemara could have said the other way around if we only said it in our case and that we didn't say it by the case of Bikurim, then you would argue that maybe a father was moichel to his son over here, but not in the case of Bikurim and vice versa. So the Gemara just kept it short. The point is we need it to be said in both places, because otherwise you would think to apply special rules in one case versus in the other. So we'll continue tomorrow with the discussion, Bez Hashem, between Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish on this point.
Yeah.